that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we take you to Butte College's Black Box Theater, where director Barry Piccinino and his student actors are rehearsing the college's spring production, Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, which opens next week. We'll talk with Piccinino and with his young cast, including Isaiah Hamilton, who plays one of the four young lovers.
You obviously have to understand what you're saying before you know how to say it. And then getting the metering down, it's all in iambic pentameter, with the lovers anyways. But that actually kind of makes it easier in a way, because it kind of flows off your tongue and you find yourself saying the lines without really thinking about them anymore, because it's so song-like.
And also on today's program, we'll be visiting the studio of artist Paula Bush. She'll tell us about the exhibition of her works, which opens next week at Chico's 1078 Gallery. To create her encaustic paintings, which are inspired by the sights and colors of India, Bush uses hot beeswax, vivid colors, and a small needle-like etching tool.
I love doing it. I love producing art. I love making art. The feeling of being in the present with the art I'm making. It's all good.
That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
Next Wednesday, Cascade Theatre in Reading presents String Fever, four world-class musicians from England playing viola, cello, and electric violins. This unique spin on classical music ends with the group's virtuoso signature finale, The History of Music, in 5 minutes. Experience this humorous and energetic show starting at 7:30. At Chico Theatre Company, see The Little Mermaid, the Broadway stage version of the Disney musical From Under the Sea. Get in the swim with Ariel and her friends tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. There's more Disney this weekend in Chico when California Regional Theater presents Beauty and the Beast. This tale as old as time plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Beauty and Her Beast appear at the Center for the Arts on the edge of the Pleasant Valley High campus. At Chico's Blue Room Theater, the provocative comedy by Sarah Rule, In the Next Room, or The Vibrator Play. Set in the 1880s, it's about marriage, intimacy, and electricity. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. At Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, meet everyone's favorite ooky spooky brood, the Addams Family, in a wacky musical version of the Charles Addams cartoons and the 1960s TV show. This grand-scale student production of the Broadway hit opens next Wednesday evening at 7:30. Also at Chico State, the Janet Turner Print Museum features a double art show, the 21st Juried Student Print Exhibition, and the 14th Ink Clay Exhibit. See works by current printmaking students and discover the link that ceramics have with printmaking. The Turners open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 4. At the Chico Art Center, Contemporary Woman, the 10th annual showcase featuring paintings, drawings, and sculptures by women artists of all ages. Visit the center between noon and 4 any day of the week. Tomorrow, there's a full evening of choir music from the Chico University Chorus, a cappella choir, and chamber singers. at the Harlan Adams Theater, it's your opportunity to hear a wide variety of the best choral music starting at 7:30. Sunday, the Paradise Symphony Orchestra plays an evening of music titled Sweet Farewell. Enjoy the Farewell Symphony by Franz Joseph Haydn, as well as selections by Edvard Grieg and others. This concert at the Paradise Performing Arts Center begins at 7 o'clock. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Sculptor Auguste Rodin described his process of making art. I choose a block of marble and chop off whatever I don't need.
We take you now to Butte College's Black Box Theater, where they're getting ready for opening next week of their spring production. We're talking with the director of the production at Butte College, A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare. This is Barry Piccinino. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Tom.
I hear that this is your last play that you'll be directing for Butte College.
Yes, it is. I'm delighted and sad at the same time that this will be my last show here at Butte after all these years. It's been an incredible journey and some great, wonderful experiences I've had over the years directing musicals and comedies and dramas. So I ended up with William Shakespeare.
Why do you think A Midsummer Night's Dream continues to be probably the most popular Shakespeare comedy?
I remember, and as I put in my director's notes, watching this show when I was a teenager. And I was so touched by this show because even though it was written at, you know, over 400, now it's over 400 years, and that's why we've selected the show, because it's its anniversary. But I remember as a young teenager thinking about love and growing up and becoming a parent and parent issues, and then this whole thing about illusion, what is real and what is not real. It's a great show that he put together.
Well, talk about working with your students, the cast of this play, with that really physical kind of comedy, just kind of over the top, just really heightened kind of physical comedy.
That has been a big challenge, because not only do they have to memorize this incredible, beautiful verse, but then they're moving all over the stage. I mean, I told them they were going to be exhausted by the time the play is over, because there's so much movement. There's entrances and exits that are so quick. They're attacking their lines when they're coming in. They're moving around. They're chasing each other. They're taking off some of their clothes as they're going through the forest. I mean, it's a nonstop physical show. So it's a challenge for young actors, and they really have done quite well.
We've been talking with Barry Piccinino. This is his last play of his career at Butte College, 40 years. And now we're talking with Megan Schwartz, who's playing the magical part of Titania. Are you having fun being a magical, powerful queen of the fairies?
I'm having way too much fun. I think it's getting to my head a little bit.
Well, you have quite a mixed relationship with King Oberon, King of the Fairies. And you have some big fights, right?
Yes. Yes, we're fighting the entire time. In fact, the fight that we're having right now is so bad that it's affecting the weather. The world is in disarray because we can't agree. And as the story goes forward, it's kind of more of a game of a power struggle, just a game between us two. But I think something that I really enjoy that's coming out of this, though, is that you do see that our characters do love each other. And that is what really fuels the fire of how much conflict there is between us.
You and your husband, Oberon, kind of play tricks on each other. He plays a big trick on you. He has one of his under fairies turn a lower class guy, his head, into a donkey, and has you mesmerized into falling in love with the donkey. What's it like playing opposite a donkey-headed person?
Well, that's been fun. I haven't actually seen the donkey head yet. I've had to use my imagination, but that's been a lot of fun. I feel like I'm the one who acts like an ass in that scene, and I love that. I love to be able to step out of this woman who is so mesmerizing herself and to have her lose self-control and make an ass out of herself out of love.
The powerful goddess of the woods, Titania, in Midsummer Night's Dream at Butte College, actress Megan Schwartz. Marcus Rutledge plays the king of the fairy folk, Oberon. Are you into being a powerful supernatural being?
Yes, that's what Oberon is. It's a pretty fun part to take on, but with that, I think you'll see a more human side to Oberon as well. He definitely likes to cause mischief as well as use his authority over the fairy kingdom.
So Marcus, how do you make sure that when you enter, the audience really has that feeling of how great and powerful a spirit you are?
I've been going over a lot of that with our director, trying to create that feeling of power right from the get-go. A lot of it is body creating more of my center in my chest, as well as using animal noises, growls, grunts, using my vocal inflection to create a deeper, stronger sound, especially in the moments where I need to sound powerful.
We've been speaking with Marcus Rutledge, who plays Oberon, the king of the fairy folk. Alison Zuris plays Hippolyta, queen of the humans. Tell me how you're getting into this character of Hippolyta. She's an Amazon, isn't she?
Yes, she is an Amazon queen.
Wonder Woman is an Amazon, too.
Wonder Woman is actually the daughter or granddaughter of Hippolyta, so that's a neat point to bring up.
Alison Zuris, who plays Queen Hippolyta. And now I'm talking with Jared Jackson, who plays Bottom, the leader of this group of low-class people who are going to put on this, what you think is a fantastic play. Is it fun playing these like bad actors who think they're great?
It's a blast. The whole thing about the bad actors is you just have to go way over the top with every action you do. It's unlike anything I've ever done because, you know, you just have to put everything out there and just go super dramatic, over the top. Bad acting. It's a blast.
We've been talking with Jared Jackson. He plays Bottom in A Midsummer Night's Dream at Butte College. Jonah Nielsen plays one of the young lovers, Lysander. So what's it like for your character to be wandering into the woods and there's these fairies casting spells, but you don't really know that?
We kind of have to play it off that there's only four people in the forest. Me and the other three lovers, you kind of have to play dumb at parts and not notice stuff and pretend that you're just hearing the wind when it's fairies running around.
Well, you go through a lot of changes about who you're in love with because that fairy Puck casts spells on you. What's it like switching from being madly in love with one woman and then not really liking her and being madly in love with another woman?
It took a second to be able to make that switch on the dime because you have to wake up and completely 180 who you're in love with. It's really weird to get into that character and be so passionate and so in love with somebody and then completely change to another person and hate somebody and just completely despise them. So it's cool. We can have some fun with that.
We've been talking with Jonah Nielsen, who plays Lysander in the Butte College production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Now we're talking with Isaiah Hamilton, another of the lovers, Demetrius. So what's it like speaking that Shakespearean language and doing it larger than life? Because this comedy is very exaggerated.
Yes, it's been very interesting. You obviously have to understand what you're saying before you know how to say it. And then getting the metering down, it's all in iambic pentameter with the lovers anyways. But that actually kind of makes it easier in a way because it kind of flows off your tongue and you find yourself saying the lines without really thinking about them anymore because it's so song-like. They just kind of stick in your head.
We've been talking with Isaiah Hamilton, who plays Demetrius. Cassandra Partain plays another of the young lovers, Helena.
Hello.
you kind of go through an interesting journey in this. You're kind of the outcast. You really think everybody's against you.
Helena really, really tries not to be the outcast. And sometimes I wouldn't really consider her that, because Hermia does love her as a friend, and it's all wonderful between them. She just really wants to be with Demetrius, and Demetrius wants none of that until Puck comes in and messes everything up. But I think it's a great part just because it's so crazy and fun, and I get to be just like this crazy girl who's going through so much in her life right now, and she's kind of standing up for herself. One of my favorite lines that she says is, "We cannot fight for love as men may do. We should be wooed, and we're not made to woo." That's one of my favorite lines that she says, because she wants to break those barriers, which is really nice.
So what's it like playing this scorned lover kind of thing? You're so in love with Demetrius, and he just is not into you. Is it fun playing that as, you know, that grudge kind of thing?
It's so much fun, because in her eyes, he does love her. Deep down, he does love her, because he did once love her. And then he saw Hermia, and he's like, oh my gosh, I love Hermia now. And Helena's just now out there kind of like, oh, well, I'm going to fight for you. She's not going down without a fight, that's for sure.
So you, of course, don't know that this has to do with spells that have been cast by these fairies that you don't see. He loves you, he doesn't love you, and then he loves you. I mean, it must be dizzying for your character.
It makes her pretty crazy. She goes through some real stuff. She thinks that, like, her friend Hermia and Lysander and Demetrius, she thinks they're all out to scorn her, to spite her, to make fun of her, instead of having this spell that she doesn't know is happening. She has no idea what's going on behind the scenes, I guess you would call it. And I just think it's really fun to play someone who just goes from one extreme to the other, and she's crazy, and I love it.
Talk about being funny and poetic at the same time.
It's so hard. It was probably one of the hardest things I had to do. The language was the hardest that I had to get down. I was pretty much singing my lines so I could get them down, and then adding these beats and pauses where there naturally should be, but then you shouldn't put them there because that's not where Shakespeare wanted it. So keeping true to his language, but also bringing our own flair and our own energy into the script is a lot of fun. But the language is really hard, and I learned a lot through this experience, like with dealing with Shakespeare and dealing with the language itself.
We've been talking with Cassandra Partain, who plays Helena in A Midsummer Night's Dream at Butte College. Thanks, Cassandra.
Thank you.
Now I'm talking with Marin Granada. She plays another of the young lovers, Hermia. It's kind of a wild ride with all these love spells and things going on.
Very much so. Hermia, she starts out rather angry and frustrated with her father, because he is basically saying, either you do what I say or you die. And so she's frustrated, angry, and she goes from there to be very depressed and sad. And after that, head over heels for her lover, Lysander. Along her journey, she's just falling deeper and deeper in love with him and doing everything she can to escape with him and have this beautiful life with him, until he turns out not to love her anymore and she gets angry again. And then in the end, he loves her again and she's happy. So she's a little bit of an emotional roller coaster.
Talk about having these fierce fights with Helena. It's like girl fights.
Yeah, they're pretty intense. There, you have to have a lot of endurance. You're saying words at the same time as having these large, intense movements on stage, as well as, you know, being in front of a full-on audience. It's a large challenge, but in the end, it is so worth it, and it's a lot of fun.
We've been talking with Marin Granada, who plays another of the young lovers in A Midsummer Night's Dream at Butte College.
Sing me now asleep, then to your offices, and let me rest.
The Butte College production of A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Black Box Theater in the Arts Building on the main campus of the college, next Wednesday through Sunday. La, 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 la. In just a moment, we'll be joining our visual art expert, Dolores. She's at the studio of an artist who's getting ready to open a big show at one of the major galleries in Chico.
Dolores Mitchell, and today I am in the studio of Paula Bush, who will have a show opening next week, May 5th, running through the 28th, at the 1078 Gallery, 8th and Broadway, and there's going to be a reception for the show on Friday, May 5th, starting at 5 p.m. Paula, looking at the beautiful works in encaustic and string, some of them very sculptural, materials are very significant to you. They speak to you.
Well, I thought it would be fun to make a play on the Rochambeau game by calling my show Wax, Paper, String. The wax, of course, is the beeswax that I paint with. The paper, because I use a base of watercolor paper before I paint. And then string, because I've been playing with using both string and my encaustics and making some three-dimensional crazy fun pieces out of string dipped in wax.
Just how do you work with wax?
I get my wax from the farmer's market, beeswax, and I melt it down into a crock pot with Damar resin. That makes the wax really, really tough. It doesn't melt as easily then as candle wax does. People always ask me, especially if they buy a piece from me, well, do I need to keep it out of the sun? And I said, no, it will be fine up to 180 degrees, and then it will get soft. So in Chico, just don't leave it in the back of your car on an August day in a parking lot with no trees, and you'll be fine. The word encaustic comes from the ancient Greek word encausticos. That means to burn in or to heat. And once I've got my wax melted down with a Damar, I use it along with heavily pigmented bricks of wax. It's like I liken it to watercolor in that my wax, my clear wax, is the water, and then the little bars of heavily pigmented pigment is my color. So the more wax I add to the color, the more transparent it becomes. Or if I want to work in a really opaque fashion, then I just use the straight wax from the bars of pigmented wax that I buy.
Why are you so attracted to encaustic?
Because I came from a background of printmaking, etching in particular. I love little fine lines. And you can create little fine lines in this work by using a little needle-like tool and then oil sticks that go into the little lines. You can do anything with encaustics. I actually do use watercolor on top of my watercolor paper that I glue down to Masonite board before I start layering the wax on top. Not with all pieces, but definitely with some of them that will be going in this show, upcoming show, will have watercolor at the base.
You were telling me that you were very inspired by a trip to India.
That's correct. And there'll actually be a slideshow that my husband put together after our trip there in 2014. He loves to put together slideshows, and there was just so much wonderful color and visual experiences in India that he put together probably the longest slideshow we've ever had. He also downloaded music, wonderful Indian music, some contemporary, which will go along with this slideshow, which will be presented at the end of the reception on May 5th.
Well, this very small, compact, but extremely usable and light-filled space that is your studio is quite a contrast from the space you'll be working with at the 1078 Gallery.
Yes, and that's a big challenge. I had to think of how I was going to fill this space. with a one-person show because my work isn't huge. I don't paint in 6 feet by 10 foot paintings. So I decided what I would do is create a series of vertical panels. The first series is 10 panels. It's called Moiré. It's a monochromatic, and you'll see fine lines, and you'll also see string. Then I have 20 panels from a show that I did at Butte College. Those will fill one wall. And then the back wall, I have a series of, I'm calling them India-poppies. They're 4 panels with large poppies with colors of India in them.
What are the colors of India, according to your experience?
Lots of turmeric, yellows, golds, reds, oranges, marigolds, marigolds everywhere, in the temples especially. Warm colors, beautiful colors on saris. Everywhere you look, there's color.
Paula, for many years, you've been working with the creative capacity of students, and you've given a lot of thought about the kind of mental state one needs to be creative.
That's called moving into the right side of your brain, and yes, I'm able to do that in the studio, and I love doing it. I like it quiet when I'm decision-making, which is a big part of my art, but then on the other hand, I get into this wonderful meditative state, especially when I'm doing the fine line work. I'll crank up the radio and I'll listen to either music or NPR, and time flies when that's happening. It's really wonderful, and I love doing it. I love producing art. I love making art, the feeling of being in the present with the art I'm making. It's all good.
Well, that's fascinating that you said that, because I'm looking at some of your works and they remind me of meditative mandalas.
That's interesting, Dolores. I've not thought of that.
All right. How about saying just a few words about the nature of your reception?
It should be fun. The people at 1078 have a crew that will be helping me install. Installation will take a couple of days. They usually have a wonderful array of foods and beer for sale, and it will be, for me, like a wedding reception. It goes by really, really, really fast. This is the first time we've paired my husband, Chuck, with a reception by having him do this slideshow, so that will be interesting.
You can see the encaustic paintings by Paula Bush and the slideshow about India next week at the reception at 1078 Gallery. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.